write us at Evangelist Wonderfam, or Spill Your Warfam Ministries at P.O. Box 588.
But when we put it all
Alexandria,
together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Just a little while. I want to speak from the subject, new blessings are waiting on your decision. New blessings are waiting on your decision. Why don't you help me preach this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, new blessings are waiting on your decision. Now, if you believe the word of the Lord, give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. One of the things that I think I might need to add to this reading is verse 20. Because without verse 20, you might think it stops at verse 19. But it says, but if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now that means, my brothers and sisters, we decide whether or not we're going to be blessed or whether we're going to be cursed. Whether we're going to reap the benefits of God or whether or not we're going to experience the wrath of God. What I love about Isaiah's recording of God's message is that God reminds us that the choice is ours. Now, keep in mind, Isaiah has recorded the word of the Lord. God has shown Isaiah some deep and rich truths concerning the past, the present, and the future. And one of the things that Isaiah is given to do is to make clear to the children of God how God feels about their sin. How God feels about their backward ways, about how God feels about their turning away from Him, the way God feels about people He has blessed turning hard-hearted toward Him. Isaiah's job is to give them insight as to how God feels about what His people not only are doing, but what He's going to do as a result of the doings of His people. Now, one of the things that Isaiah makes clear in the first verse, he's identified, but in verses 2 through 9, God records and Isaiah reveals, listen, some very important information to the people of God. God is literally listing the indictments that he has against his people. Now, I don't care what the enemy says about the people of God. It's what God says that matters. And if you would take the time in your own study time to read verses 2-9, you'll see the list of indictments that God has against his people. But what you're going to also discover is, though this happened thousands of years ago, some of this seems like it's going on right now. Seems like he's talking not only to Israel and his chosen people, but he's speaking to the people of God today. And when you begin to look at this, my brothers and sisters, how interesting it is how God, who loves us with an everlasting love, with a greater love than anyone could ever know, with an unending love, wants to always make sure that we have the opportunity, though we have messed up, though we have missed it, though we have fallen short, to know that he loves us, and with arms stretched wide, he's waiting for us to return back to him. What a loving Heavenly Father. Aren't you glad that he isn't like us? I'm talking about people you love. Can't they work your last nerve till you don't want to have nothing to do with them? Oh, you're going to sit up here and act holier than thou. Like I ain't talking to you now. Like they ain't never hurt you like that. But what God does is, instead of Xing them out, he invites them back in because his love is real. Can I tell you, you ain't never experienced a love like God's love. If you don't believe that, how many times have you asked him to forgive you for the same thing you have done and you knew it was wrong? Is anybody going to talk to me in the house today? And yet, when you repented and truly repented, God forgave you and cleansed your heart and your spirit, and you knew the peace of God returned back to you. That's what God is trying to get his fallen people to understand. Now listen to this, because God deals with a myriad of subjects, and he deals with so many different issues, and he talks about the fake and phoniness of their worship, and how when they lift their hands up to him, he turns his head against, closes his ear, because it's false and phony and ritualistic worship, that their hearts are far from their heads, that there's lip service going on, but there's no true love of life for God going on. And he sees them living like hellions through the week and then want to come in here and lift up holy hands. God said, I've got problems with your worship. One of the things he tells them to do is to repent. But not just only from their sins. If you read it correctly, you're going to see he wants them to repent from their worship. Some of you come here and you know you're not worshiping God the way God deserves for you to worship him, when you know how good he's been to you. Preacher got to almost beg you to say God is good, to get your amen, to get your praise God, to get your thank you Jesus, to get your glory hallelujahs, to get your involvement, when God has done so much for you. You said all stoic and super intelligent, emotionless and feeling this, watching those who know God has blessed them and kept them. And if it hadn't been for him, they wouldn't be here this week. Rejoice all around you. And you look with that air of, it don't take all of that foolishness. I wish they would step on my feet with that though, but they even brace themselves. So if you act like you're going to fall, you're going to get an elbow, you're going to get a fist, you're going to get something to let them know, listen, I ain't into all of that. When all of us have been touched, who's been touched? By the same God. Your story may not be like my story, but you got a story. Have I got a witness in the house? Your issue might not have been my issue, but you got an issue. Yeah. And so what you've got to realize, God is speaking not to strangers, but to his own children. He says that beginning in the second verse. He's talking about his children and the backwards ways they have turned. Listen, verse 10 deals with the confrontation, because Isaiah confronts them with the word of God to make it clear to them how God feels. Listen, verses 11 through verses 15 reveals the accusations that are brought against them. And when you look at that and read that, you'll see all of the accusations that the Lord is bringing against them. But in the 16th through the 18th verse, you'll see God is extending an invitation. Because when it's all said and done, and this is what I love about the Lord, he's not exposing your sin to destroy you, but he's exposing your sin so that he can restore you, bring you back into a right relationship. See, some other folk may bring up your sin to scorn you, to berate you, to belittle you, to put you down, to show you that you ain't all of that. But when God exposes your sin, it's so that you will realize that you can't hide from the Lord, that your sin will find you out. And God wants you to know, while there's time to repent, that you can still turn around and get yourself together. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord?" This is one of the things that the people of God has had to go to God and say time and time again, "Show us your mercy and grant us your salvation." Because just because we're saved doesn't mean the enemy leaves us alone. Man, I've gone through more hell since I've gotten off my fast. I'm on it. Somebody that's been on a fast with me would know what I'm talking about. Do you realize Jesus didn't go through all the hell the 40 days? It was after he finished the fast for 40 days. And when he finished the fast, then the devil came in and tempted him, tried him, tested him. Why? Because you have reached another spiritual level. You're more in tune with God, communed with God, right with God, and the devil is mad. And you need to know, when God is glad, the devil is mad. And you've got to watch what you say. You got to watch what you do. You've got to watch where you go. You've got to watch how you live. You've just got to watch on a whole nother level for the tricks and traps of the enemy. Listen at this now. Listen. He gives them an invitation in that 18th verse. He makes it clear. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. In other words, Isaiah is saying, God is saying, listen, let's work it out. Let's talk about it. Tell me what you're feeling, what you're dealing with, what's going on with you. Let me help you, but I need you to be a part of this process. How many times do we tell everybody but the Lord our problems? How many times do we tell people who can't do nothing about our problems instead of telling the Lord? Here's what the Bible says. Though your sins be as scarlet. How does he know that? Because he knows everything. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. How does he know? Because he knows everything. They shall be like wool. Now, here again is a glimpse into Calvary. What he's showing us is that how he's going to take what is red and turn it into white. Though your sins be as scarlet, and scarlet carries the reputation of someone with a ruined reputation, a reputation of irrepute, someone who folk look at and point at and turn their nose up because of the things that they've done, and their reputation precedes them. And then he says, also not only that, but the sins are also red like crimson. And again, when you put these two together, it simply means that you're so messed up, you're marked. And you always know when you're marked because you feel like you're marked. Why are folk looking at me like that? Why are folk treating me like that? Sin and guilt is a part of your daily experience. And yet God says, if we will come together, he says, I'll give you a chance to straighten out your life and get it right with me and begin to live again. But listen to what he throws out in verse 19. I can only do this if you be willing and obedient. If you be willing and obedient simply means that if you are willing to surrender and submit your will to God's will and then become obedient to his will, which means his word, then do things his way, he attaches blessings with that. He says, if you'll just be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. The good of the land. Man is not in control of this promise. You are. God has offered, extended it to you, but you're the one who determines the decision that shall be made. Because if you are willing and obedient, God is going to posture you so that you will begin to receive the good of the land. Every time you turn around, he's going to bless you. He's going to cause you to be multiplied. He's going to cause you to increase. He's going to increase your territory. He's going to show you that he has nothing but his best for you. New blessings you've never experienced before. on new levels if you be willing and obedient. See, that's the problem right there. We could stay that and finish the message off right there, because a whole lot of you ain't even willing to hear the rest of this message. I can tell, because it's incriminating to you. You know God is dealing with you. He's shining the spotlight of heaven on you. You know there are some things that you're not willing to give up to walk right, to talk right, to live right, to be right. So you ain't really trying to hear this message right, because you're not willing. But you come here on Sunday morning or wherever else you go, and you pretend like you're living a righteous life. And everywhere you go, your conscience is right there. And the Spirit of the living God is there to convict you, because you can't run and hide from God. Now listen at this. He says in verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, he says something else is going to happen. Ye shall be devoured with the sword. Listen, in other words, you're going to set your own death sentence. The decisions you make is going to determine whether you live happily or die dreadfully. Do you see how clear God puts the decision of new blessings in your hand? Well, what are you saying? Don't blame God if you're not being blessed like you want to be. Don't blame God if you're not being blessed like you desire to be. Don't blame God if you're not being blessed like you think you ought to be. Your decisions will determine what you get. What he does is he gives them a chance to make a choice, and then he charges them with the consequences. Do good, eat the good of the land. Do bad, the sword will devour you and you will die. And then to confirm this, he says, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, what does that mean? Because this little phrase is not just a phrase. This is a confirmation of God watching over his word. In other words, it's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. I said it's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. But the question is, what's going to happen? Good or bad? Life or death? Right or wrong, the choice is yours. Now, my brothers and sisters, when I think about what Isaiah is saying to the people of God, is not God saying these same things to us today? What God has promised in his word is real now, just as it has been in the past. One of the things about Isaiah was he was not only a prophet who spoke of past experience and present experience, but he also spoke of future experiences. And I don't know how you feel about it, but as I think about the blessings God gives to me to decide, for me to determine, for me to choose, I get excited when I think about what God can and will do if I just be willing and obedient. I wish I had a witness here, and I'm not really worried about what other folk think or say, because God and only God is going to be the one who judges me. And I'm so glad that my life is in God's hand. I wish I had a witness here. Is there anybody here who loves the Lord, who's willing and obedient? Well, I got news for you. Get ready. Your new blessings are on the way. Oh, Lord, I wish I had somebody who would say, preacher, I made up my mind and I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm turning my back on sin and on this world, and I'm going to follow God. Yes, I am, because I know that God and only God can pick me up and turn me around and place my feet on a higher ground. I'm just trying to tell you here that God's got some blessings with your name on it. Did you hear what I said? God's got some blessings with your name on it. But I want to tell you that they may not always come like you want them. The blessings of the Lord comes in different ways. And as long as I know I do the right thing, I know the blessings are coming the way God wants them to come.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's.
If I ascend to the hey, God bless you and greetings in that all-powerful, blessed, and healing name of Jesus. Yes, this is your friend and your apostle of prayer, Apostle James Brodnick's. And I tell you, I am excited about what I know God is doing through this miracle-working, prayer-blessing ministry. Yes, the Lord is working miracles through this ministry. And I stopped by today with a word of blessing in my mouth. with a word of encouragement in my mouth.